a chance for us to thank those of you that are healthcare professionals and also to hear the methods you're using to try and cope with the tremendous pressure, the long hours, the challenges of managing your household life as well as your professional life during this time of pandemic. We're at 866-893-KPCC, and I understand if you happen to have time off today and you're a healthcare professional, maybe the last thing you want to do is to be calling in and talking about how challenging it is to deal with the pandemic in your job. But I think it's very helpful for other listeners to have a sense of what you're going through and the ways that you're attempting to cope with it. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. I'm talking about nurses, physicians, people administering health tests at hospitals or clinical settings, urgent care facilities. If you're a healthcare professional and your work has been impacted by COVID-19, I want to hear how you're dealing with the challenging ways that has been affecting the business that you're in as well as your life overall. 866-893-KPECC. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. With me is Dr. Linda Rosenstock, Dean Emeritus of UCLA's Fielding School of Public Health. She's Professor of Health Policy and Management and Environmental Health Sciences and Medicine, joining us to talk about this tremendous challenge. She also headed the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health for more than 6 years. Dr. Rosenstock, so good to have you with us today.
Good morning, Larry. Happy to be with you.
So let's talk about the challenges here. I would think in some ways, one of the biggest challenges here would be the indefinite period of time that people's work is affected by this. If you're in a particular crisis and you're triaging and you're dealing with something that you know is a terrible event but will be over at, you know, some near term, that's one kind of traumatic event. This, though, is so spread out, so long-lasting, I would think it poses its own unique challenges.
I think you're absolutely right. This is a particularly tough time for healthcare workers, and I think one thing to keep in context is are just a large part of our overall workforce, about 10%. So we're not talking about a slim slice of the pie here. And as you said, it's a tough time and the problems keep coming. And if we look in California, we're at our peak hospitalization rate since the beginning of the pandemic. We're about to do the same in Los Angeles County. And we know at baseline, healthcare workers feel a lot of burnout. Other workers do as well. I'm sure your listeners have felt that sort of sense of physical, emotional fatigue, work-related dread. That's at baseline for healthcare workers. Lots of good data to tell us why they have increased depression, even suicides and the like in the U.S. and around the world. But then we look at what's going on with this pandemic. There's this sense of, we've heard terms like powerlessness and combat fatigue and PTSD. We know that this problem just keeps on coming and that staff can be overwhelmed. We've gotten through some of the worst of the shortages of personal protective equipment. They're not over, but we're now facing enough beds, but perhaps not enough staffing to deal with the surging problem. And we know that nurses who often spend more time than anyone else with patients particularly feel what has been described as moral injury. They just don't have enough ability to do the things they need to do that they know they can do when there are too many patients to care for, and some of them are so dreadfully ill.
Well, let's talk with a healthcare professional, Chanel in Highland Park, Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us. I understand that for about a year you've been working with COVID patients in the intensive care unit.
Yes, Larry. I was working in a COVID ICU for about 8 months. And, you know, seeing what I saw day in and day out really had a huge toll on me. And I suffered with pretty bad PTSD from it to the point where I ended up putting my notice in and completely switching professions. So now I'm working in plastic surgery, but I still, you know, have nightmares about the stuff that I saw every day in ICU. And everything that they say on the news, it's real. It's really happening. And it was hard to be the last person, you know, there with a person when they're passing away.
Yeah.
And their family can't be around. So, I mean, so that you don't have to put your family through that, I think we should just all heed the warnings that we're getting from the government right now.
Chanel, this just had to be so difficult. And what was the range of how you saw your colleagues working in the ICU responding? Did people have any time at all to discuss this amongst yourselves? You're just so busy working, you didn't even have a sense of what was going on in their lives.
We're so busy working. The turnover rate, too, is so high. I had so many colleagues leave the ICU. I was one of the last ones that ended up leaving my ICU during the night shift just because, you know, there really isn't that much support for people. They don't really give you anyone that you can talk to if you're going through any type of PTSD. So when someone passes away, you immediately get another patient. You don't have anyone to come say, hey, that was hard. You know, can we talk about what you just saw? We all are just kind of like tag teaming with each other and, you know, getting to the next patient. There isn't time to really recover from what you saw.
And I'm surprised to hear that the hospital where you were didn't have employee assistance to have, you know, people you could talk to. And but there wasn't at least any communication or any offering of that to you?
No, the biggest recommendation that was given to us from HR and then like the social workers was to not listen to or watch the news.
That's okay.
What they tell you is to not watch the news, because if you every day when you see, you know, the different statistics of infection rate and whatnot, it causes people to be more stressed when they go to work. So that was really the main thing they told us is don't watch the news. Go to work, and when you get home from work, just be with your family and don't just try to pretend that, you know, leave the COVID at the hospital. But you can't really do that.
While you're on, Chanel, I'm going to read a message from David in the West Adams District of L.A. He called to say, my wife is a COVID ICU nurse, just like what you had been doing, Chanel. Every night she comes home questioning whether she can keep doing this. And it doesn't help when we see people out there not following the guidance, traveling for Thanksgiving. Why should she put her life on the line every day? She's not getting much support at the hospital either. No hazard pay. A lot of others have walked. What's going to happen when there aren't enough doctors and nurses willing to do this work? That's David in West Adams. Chanel, is it that dire? You see it like that?
I definitely see it like that. For me, it was really like a life or death decision on whether or not I was going to stay in the hospital and continue to subject myself to the pretty horrific things I saw every day at the risk of my own mental health. And I think that there's so many healthcare workers out there that I'm close with and that I've known that are mentally burning out, and some of the strongest people I know that they're really having to choose their own mental health and their own family's health over doing something that, you know, we're really passionate about doing, which is being nurses.
And Chanel, you're requiring us to confront how terrible it is to get seriously ill with COVID-19 and what this means for the patient, for the family members, and the people that are right there with them, as you said, in the last moments of life. Chanel, thank you for joining us, and we wish you all the best. Thank you for sharing your experience. 866-893-KPECC, healthcare professionals. I want to hear from you. We're joined by UCLA Fielding School of Public Health Dean Emeritus Linda Rosenstock. We'll talk with the professor, get a sense from her about the best ways for healthcare professionals in this extremely challenging position to help themselves deal. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Coming up next hour on Air Talk, the U.S. Supreme Court, a couple of hours ago, well, about 3 hours ago now, heard arguments in the case involving the U.S. Census count and whether unauthorized residents will be counted as a part of the census for the purpose of allocating congressional seats. We have a couple of clips from the arguments. That's one small positive thing to come out of this pandemic, is we at least get to hear from the video conferencing the justices and the petitioners and respondents at the court. We get to hear those actual arguments. So we'll have that for you coming up next hour here on Air Talk. We're going to talk with physician Ryan and Reynolds in a moment. But I do want to remind you, please call if you're a healthcare professional. How are you dealing with the stress and the uncertainty professionally and personally from COVID-19? 866-893-KPECC. Dr. Linda Rosenstock of UCLA Fielding School of Public Health. We just heard Chanel's very poignant call, and you know, we know this intellectually, what healthcare professionals are dealing with, but to hear her describe it takes it, I think, to a whole other level for many of us.
Well, she did movingly and compellingly tell her own story, including her trying so hard but having feeling compelled to leave. And I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that certainly in the early months of the pandemic, you know, healthcare workers and nurses in particular were made up, you know, a good chunk, 10% of the cases in L.A. County that were reported to us. We hope that that number is lower as the pandemic's gone on, as we've gotten better. But so in addition to the burden of not being able to feel they're doing the job they want to do and having to play the role of a family person holding a dying person's hand and comforting them, we know that they are also have the horror of actually putting themselves and potentially their family and close ones at risk as well, with very little support coming their way, as you were able to elicit.
And what is the best support? As you look at it, you've studied this issue pre-pandemic. What's helpful for healthcare professionals facing this kind of challenge?
Well, I think that peer support is good. You asked that question. It's harder to do and everyone's overwhelmed, but there are peer support modalities. There's ability to give people time off. Again, very stressed if we have inadequate staffing and people are fleeing because for any number of understandable reasons, and there are stress reduction techniques. But I personally believe that the biggest issue, particularly for frontline nurses who really spend their time at the bedside, is that they need more help with staffing. We don't have the luxury now that we had. I say luxury carefully, when there was just a single spot, a New York City surge, and even our own healthcare workers could go and help them out. Right now, with some of the United States, it's even harder. But we should be smarter, and we need to look ahead. This is not going to, we see light at the end of the tunnel happening for quite some time, and we hope healthcare workers expect they'll be the earliest to get vaccinated, but that's not going to remove all the burden of their burnout.
Question, I'm not sure whether this is within your area of expertise, so I apologize if it's not, but I know that there are a number of nurses who ended up not really having work because of the pandemic, those that, you know, were not trained to work in ICUs and to do the kinds of things COVID patients most need. Is it possible to train those healthcare providers to back up and expand on those that are trained to do it, or is there too much going on to provide that?
Well, you know, you've hit that nail on the head because, oddly enough, at the same time we're talking about staff shortages, we know that one of the biggest areas of layoff and of the economic collapse that came with the pandemic is actually in the healthcare workforce where hospitals were closing or clinics were shutting down. We haven't done a very good job. I think we can do better. I'm looking forward after January, where I believe we'll have a national plan and a better opportunity to not just do state by state. And I applaud California for the efforts it's giving. But we need to be able to redeploy, retrain. Right now, it's a very ad hoc operation.
Dr. Linda Rosenstock, Fielding School of Public Health. Ryan and Redlands, you're a physician, and share with us how the pandemic's affected you.
Hey, Larry, thanks so much for having me. I just wanted to share with everyone just how incredibly stressful it is as a physician. Actually, we're a two-physician household dealing with this pandemic. You know, there really isn't a way to escape it for us. We deal with it on a daily basis at work. I'm an anesthesiologist and an intensivist, and so my job is to intubate these patients when needed. And my wife is a psychiatrist, and she has a bunch of patients coming into her setting there who can possibly expose herself and expose the other patients. So we don't really get an escape from it at work, and we don't really get an escape from it at home. And just dealing with it and having two young kids at home and parents who are little, you know, on the older side and that we depend on for daycare, it's just been very, very stressful, very, very hard.
Ryan, thank you for sharing your experience. I just want to say that all of us who rely on people like you and your wife and all these other professionals, we're making great sacrifice to provide care during this pandemic. We deeply appreciate you, and it's hard to imagine those of us not there doing the work, what you're going through. Thank you so much, and our thanks to Dr. Linda Rosenstock as well for joining us on Air Talk.